الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. إن الدين أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. وقال تعالى: ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Just as a reminder, first for myself, for all of us, today is the great and honorable day of Jumu'ah. And we should appreciate the great virtues and the amal of the day of Jumu'ah, where people are in the habit of saying Jumu'ah Mubarak. Actually, it must be that we encourage one another to do the Mubarak amal of the day of Jumu'ah. Then Jumu'ah will become Mubarak. So of that special amal of the day of Jumu'ah is Durood Sharif Salawat ala Nabi. We should try and read 100 times every day. And on Jumu'ah, we should try and increase our Durood Sharif. 300, 500, 1000 times, whatever Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq, inshallah. And also remember that after Jumu'ah, a person who reads Subhanallahil Azimi wa bihamdihi 1000 times, Subhanallahil Azimi wa bihamdihi 100 times, then 100,000 of his gunas are forgiven, and 24,000 of his parents' gunas are forgiven. Also from that, always remember the rights of our parents to make dua for them, especially if they have passed away. And even if they are living, we should always make dua for them and pass sawabs to them. May Allah give us all tawfiq. One great fitna which we are all facing, and really for Muslims it should not have been a fitna. We should have recognized this is evil. Like Dajjal, when he'll come, the mu'mineen, it won't be really a fitna for them. They will say clearly on his forehead is written, kafir, and they will stay away. But those people of weak iman, people who have got an outward show of iman, it will be a great fitna for those people. Otherwise, for the believers, a young man will come and Dajjal will tell him, believe me, believe in me as your God, as Allah. He will say, no, you are a kafir. Then he'll kill that person who told that. And then he'll bring him back to life. And he'll tell him, now believe that I'm God. I gave you death, I killed you, and I brought you back to life. He'll say, I'm more convinced you are Dajjal. You're a kafir, more convinced. So for a mu'min, his iman will be strong. And by iman, Allahumma, Allahumma qsim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asik. وَمِنْ طَاعَتِكَ مَا تُبَلِّغُنَا بِهِ جَنَّتَكَ وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُهَوِّنُ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا مَصَائِبَ الدُّنْيَا. That Allah bless us with that yaqeen, that all the masaib, difficulties of dunya, they are simple for us. To overcome them for a mu'min, it is very easy. For a student who worked hard, studied hard, the exam paper, tough, tough questions, is like play for him. He just passes them, and he gets 100 in them. But for a person who didn't work, who didn't attend classes, who didn't study, for him a simple question also, he messes it up. He can't even answer a simple question. So we have to work on our iman. So this great fitna of the interfaith. This is a very big fitna, but for a mu'min we see it clearly, that this is complete falsehood. Clearly Allah said there is one deen, inna deena inda Allah Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. And on that note, one thing, this LGBT fitna, for a mu'min also it's not a big fitna. For a mu'min, it is LGBTAH. Let's go back to Quran and Hadith. So when all this fitness comes, for us it is, let's go back to Quran and Hadith. For us, more encouragement, no problem for us. All other people suffer in this yet, and they trouble and they are worried in still waters, where a mu'min in stormy waters, he just swims and he goes out. He swims against the tide. A mu'min hasn't got difficulty. We have to work on our iman. then even this interface, it won't have any effect on us. We'll see clearly. And it isn't something new, this interface. Badshah Akbar, in his time, 3-4 centuries also made Deen Ilahi. And then Allah give jazaa khair to Mujaddid Al-Fithani rahmatullahi alayhi, was a Mujaddid of the 2,000 years of Islam. Mashallah, he corrected everything. So there's nothing new. History repeats itself. The other thing that we should be, what we have to be, for the ordinary person, for a person, Allah give us all that iman that we see through it. It's no problem for us. But for the masses, we have to worry for the ummah. So what the enemies are working, they know very well, they have seen that when they tell the Muslims something, Muslims are apprehensive. Muslims are reprehensive. They don't want to, kafir is saying this. How can we accept it? So they've worked hard to see which ulama we can use to say our things. So when an alim says it, the Muslims are all. We even fall into confusion. Maulana is saying this. Other Maulanas are saying something else. But this Maulana, we know he's a Maulana. And he's telling us. So then Muslims start accepting it. We start fighting amongst ourselves. This Maulana say you must do it. That Maulana say you mustn't do it. That Maulana is doing so lot good work. And he's saying you must do this. That this LGBT is right. That this interfaith thing is right. So then we get confused. Because a Maulana is saying it. And they have studied. They see that which Maulana. They won't just choose any ordinary Maulana. Or Maulana who has got prominence. Maulana who's got a following. Because they want to spread their thing. So they will look for such ulama. And then they will study that alim. And this I'm saying, inshallah, we are all going to be alims. We are also going to face these challenges. Be very conscious. Those people who have got qualities in them. His reading is very beautiful. His knowledge is a lot. Or anything like that. He's got special qualities. They're going to target that person. They're not going to target an ordinary person. They will target those people. So you must be careful. And then they will study you. Once they've made you your target, they will study you. That are you a person that you are very weak as far as woman matters are concerned. If that is the case, they will make woman available to you. And they will use you in the process. If you're a person who is weak with regard to money, you lack lot of money, and you lack the dunya, and you want things of this dunya, then they will work on you in that line. They will offer you money. If you're a person, you like to have inroads with government people. That I know this person in government. I know that person in government. And you want that that closeness with government people. That is what they will offer you. And if you're a person that who's who in the world, the top people in the corporate world, the top people in the mining industry, the top people in the share industry, that you want that all, then that is what they will offer you. They will study you without you knowing. And they are studying. And the smartphone is one of the main instruments where they can study the character of any person. Which sites you are going to, what messages you are giving, what is coming to you, they'll quickly sum you up. That in which category are you? And in that they will offer you that. And the solution is very easy. Ihtisam bil kitab wa sunnah. Just stick to sunnah. And no matter what it is, you don't have temptation of dunya, you don't have temptation of woman, you don't have temptation of money, you'll know kitab and sunnah and make your tarbiyat. By the hands of some shaykh, a kamil, make your tarbiyat. Many of us that we feel also going in the khanqa, going in jamaat, that is all a waste of time. Very sad, some students who have qualified or about to qualify, they are told go spend time in the khanqa, go in jamaat. They say, for me that's a waste of time. Those are the people who get caught up in all those things. So if our tarbiyat is not made, our ta'alluq with Allah is not there, concern of akhirat is not there. If no concern of akhirat, concern of dunya, we want dunya. That person's tarbiyat is not made. That person, no concern of ta'alluq with Allah, then concern with makhluk. then he'll be in makhluk. So that is what they will offer it. So we have to be very, very careful and apprehensive of all these things. And the solution is i'tisam bil kitab wa sunnah. Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. Follow that path and nobody will be able to mislead you. No matter what temptations they bring, they won't be able to mislead you. So when the ulama are saying now about the interfaith thing, which was impossible for an ordinary Muslim to even think about, we just shun it away. It's a finish, it's batil. How batil? That interfaith, all religions are the same. Where can they, for a Muslim, that doesn't make sense at all. We know one religion, inna deena, inna Allahil Islam, the only deen. This not the supreme deen. That means there are others and Islam is supreme. The only deen is deen of Islam. No question. This is exactly like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said that if somebody claims nabuwat, that is a nabi, and a person asks him, what is your proof that you're a nabi? Just by asking this question, this person is out of the fold of Islam. In other words, there's no question about it. It's a clear-cut thing. Nabi Ali Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, born in Makkah Sharif to Abdullah, to Amina, and who migrated to Medina Sharif, is the final last Nabi of Allah. No matter what anyone says, they can turn the world upside down. For a mu'min, it's a clear-cut thing. Like that, even more clear-cut is the deen of Islam. It's the last, final religion. It's the only religion. But how come that still not only ordinary people, ulama, are propagating this? It's impossible to think of it also. But yeah, it is in front of our eyes. What a big fitna. And only Allah knows what fitna is going to come, not tomorrow, next year, now, today. We walk out of the masjid and already there are messages on the phone and a new fitna. Fitnas are coming, as it comes in the Hadith Sharif, a tasbih. And the cotton is cut off it, the line, and all the danas, the seeds just fall out the pearl. Like that fitnas, one after the other. So this is a very big fitna for those people who did not work on the Iman and Islam. They haven't got conviction. Then they are open, objective to everything. Oh, what is this now? What is this? And just imagine that a person, also remember that an alim is not one who graduates in a madrasa, who's got a certificate. Innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. The ulama have got khashiyat. If that certificate doesn't make you an alim. In the qabr, you won't be asked, where's your certificate? Which darulum you graduated from? How much of khashiyat you got? Fear of Allah Ta'ala. That is what makes it. Otherwise, shaitan, the amount of knowledge he had of the juziyat, the fine print of every Nabi Shariat, he has all that knowledge. To call him in the literal sense an alim is also totally wrong. Figuratively, we say he's an alim because he had all that knowledge. But haqiqat, that alim which has got maqam and position by Allah, where can shaitan be called an alim of that? Or alim rabbani? Alim by Allah Ta'ala. So just like that, by us graduating in the madrasa, coming first in Dora Hadith and reading Ibadat every day, not what one Arab mistake in our Ibadat, doesn't make us an alim. عالم إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. The wise people know who are the يعلمون and the لا يعلمون. Just the يعلمون ظاهرا من الحياة الدنيا. If you know the things of dunya, وهم عن الآخرة هم غافلون. Our yaqeen is not there. We doubt ourselves so much so, we tell, don't just tell the people they must read Ayatul Kursi, there will be complete protection. Because if something happens, the iman will get weak. Your iman is gone already. Forget the iman. If you haven't got iman on Ayatul Kursi, that there is full protection in it, then forget the iman becoming weak. Your iman is gone. Whether you shaykh al-hadith, whether you shaykh al-tariqat, whether you big maulana, if you say this, your iman is gone already. So yaqeen is the thing that will make us. So a person who is called an alim is giving a talk on this interfaith. And the khutbah that he reads at the beginning, he reads the khutbah in which he says, La deen ba'da deenihi, wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atihi, with all the tarannum and everything. Beautiful khutbah. His khutbah is, La deen ba'da deenihi, wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atihi. He's reading that and his whole bayan is new deen. Deen-e-ilahi. He's saying in this khutbah that no deen after the deen of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. No shariat after the shariat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And his whole bayan, new deen. Deen-e-ilahi. Deen of the deen of America. Deen of United Nations. Unite all the people. All peace and harmony. And all religions are equal. That is what are we teaching? Then further on in the bayan, he reads the ayat, Ashidda alal kuffar, Rahama'u bainahum, trying to prove, and the terms that they use also, to bamboozle the people, interfaith and intrafaith, and all the definition of the new things, that in your religion also you must have peace, and out of your religion with other people also you must have faith. After reading the ayat, Ashidda alal kuffar, he doesn't translate. He doesn't mention it. Ruhamau bainahum. And Ashidda alal kuffar, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, jahidil kuffar wal munafiqeen, waghluz alayhim. And be hard on them. That is the teaching of deen. The Jews of Medina, talking of Medina Sharif, that they all lived in peace and harmony. Who doesn't know? A first-year student, ordinary Muslim, knows that the Jews all the time breaking the pact which they had made. They were exiled and sent to Khaybar. From there again, still they did not stop with their evil. Then they went away to Syria. They were besieged there. And then they were sent away to Syria. So all this, who doesn't know? How the kuffar, that how many were killed all the time. So this idea that we must live in peace and harmony. And what is this peace and harmony? That they must do whatever they want to against us. They are bombing the Muslims throughout the world. Iraq, what wasn't there. In Yemen, what was not there. Afghanistan, the bombing. The whole world, they just bombing. And what is peace and harmony? We mustn't say anything. They are the big lords. They must carry on. They must bomb us. Doesn't matter. Our women are being raped. The men are being tortured. Little children, how they are being. Petrol is filled in a little child. And then a matchstick is put in him. And the little child explodes. A six-year-old child. And what they call upon our people, not the kuffar, our ulama, peace and harmony. That means we must keep quiet. On one occasion discussing about the Palestine issue, the conflict there, they said that this Palestinian boys, young boys, with stones, they are throwing at the soldiers. It's terrible. How can they do such a thing? How can they throw stones at the soldiers? The person asked the question, and the soldiers are using live ammunition on them, on little children. That you can't see. That they are using live ammunition, and the stones they are throwing, that is a big issue for you. And the live ammunition they are using, bombing their masjids, bombing their homes, bombing their shops, that you can't see. You are blind to that. Not the kuffar, our people, who are called ulama. That we must have peace with them. Must live in peace and harmony. What they are doing, and what is peace and harmony? That we mustn't object to anything. We are minority living in a majority non-Muslim country. Most of the countries, we are minorities. Unfortunately, even in Muslim countries, Muslims are a minority in their own country, where the majority are non-Muslims, unfortunately. So what is peace and harmony? They must dish out all the funny LGBT things. We must keep quiet. No, we need peace and harmony. Don't object to it. Don't say anything against it. If you want to, you must march. Get permission from the court. Then you can march. And that march, they know it's nothing. They just leave it alone. And you making a big noise, getting tired, missing your namazes, man, woman going together, Ramzan, no rozas. Oh, we did a great service to Islam. And we marched to the parliament buildings, we handed in a memorandum, and they don't even notice, it's nothing for them, let them carry on. Or worse, more than that, you're allowed, you can go to court with your matter. And the whole court is in their hands. And that means nothing whatsoever. Go to the Supreme Court, go to the High Court, go to the Hague, the World Court. All, what does it mean? It's absolutely nothing. And what it means? That you must keep peace and harmony. You must surrender to them. You mustn't object to anything. All the wrong what they're doing. The filthiest things of LGBT, homosexuality, the filthiest things, you mustn't object. You must keep quiet. So this kind, if they are saying it, Muslims generally will be apprehensive. They won't accept it. But now we have to wake up and understand that even if an alim says it, no matter who, what the titles are, see what he's saying. Unzur ila ma qal, wala tanzur ila man qal. See what this person is saying. He's saying about interfaith. How can they be? Hey, that we must live with peace and harmony with all religions. And the quotation of the Muslims who made hijrat to Abyssinia, Habsha, and the Muslims who made hijrat to Medina Sharif, and then they lived with peaceful conditions. There's hijrat first of all, and the example that today also there is migration in the whole world. Throughout the world, people are going. In South Africa, a lot of people are coming. From around the world, people are coming in South Africa. From every country, Europe, all the countries, people are going. So all of us, when we are going, we are a minority. We must subject ourselves to the majority. That whatever they say, their laws, we must accept their laws. We are living in their country. And they are living in the country of Allah, the world of Allah. Mustn't they also accept the laws of Allah? لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الله. There is no obedience to the creation in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. We have to accept Allah's law. The government is making law. Did the government create us? Did the government give us our eyes, our brains? Allah gave it to us. We must be, and when we die, are we going to return to the government? We're going to answer to the government, or when we go in the qabr? Some people say, with regard to the closing of the masjids, which some ulama organizations closed the masjids, and proud to announce we closed them 5 days before the government. And when some people tried to have the masjids open, they went to court, they became friends of the court of the atheists, and to have the masjids closed. And when the people wanted the masjids open, they saw they losing the case, the government going to give the decision in favor that masjids must be closed. They tried to make a settlement, at least have 2-3 people in the masjid. So at least let namaz carry on, don't close it completely. They said, not on my life, not one person we will allow. And after they said, if we have to go back, we'll go back again. And they went back with the family law of Islam. They went again and became the friends of the court. So these people who promote all this, it's so easy to see. But yet unfortunately there are people who say, no, we must respect them. They are ulama. They are jahil. He can have the title of an alim. You can't call shaitan an alim in that sense. He knew all. He also had the knowledge. But he is not an alim by Allah Ta'ala. So these people who promote all these things, so peace and harmony, and you must be tolerant. What means tolerance? Accept what they say. That whatever they say, you mustn't fight. We must be a tolerant people. Whatever they say, we must accept it. And peace and harmony, and they bombing us left, right and center. all the worst things they doing to us, and we must be peaceful and tolerant. Whereas a mu'min, al-mu'min al-qawi, khayru min al-mu'min al-za'if. A mu'min is strong, and if it depends on our iman, make effort on our iman, make effort on our ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala, and then we won't have all these things. And then what is this, this new religion, Abrahamic Accord, interfaith and all that? What is all that? That all religions are equal. First they said harmony. Now the next stage, that all religions are equal. Can any Muslim ever think that all religions are... There is no other religion. There is only one. Lakum deenukum waliya deen. You got your deen which is atheistic, which is against the commands of Allah, which is your lust and your passion and your dunya. Our deen is the deen of Allah. The deen where we obey Allah Ta'ala. So there is no question about that also. But how our, if they, the kuffar, the baboons of the zoos and the baboons of the jungles, spit out all this poison from their backsides, it's understood. But ulama, from the minbar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the musalla of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, this minbar is not the imam's minbar, it's not the mutawalli's minbar, it's not anyone, it's the minbar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, that must be spoken from this minbar. Nothing else, no Abrahamic accord, no LGBT, no closing of the masjids and all those things. And this musalla is the musalla of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who must stand on that musalla? A person who is close on the pattern and on the line of Nabi alayhi salatu. Not a person with suit and tie. Not a person with his trousers below his ankles. Not a person with worse than that filth and dirt in his heart. He has got no right to stand on the musalla of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's got no right to sit on the minbar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No mutawallis musalla and minbar, no musallis musalla and minbar. Is the musalla and minbar of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. And those who qualify with that, or try and they are in that direction, they are the only ones who have the right for that. But today the filth and dirt is being gorged out from the minbar. For in the name of Sirat Jalta. What is the spirit of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Everything on the sunnah of Nabi, in the name of Sirat Jalsa, and all the complete opposite thing. Quran said, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, for your hand to touch a na-mahram woman is worse than whether you're putting your hand in a fire. And this all they promoting. Girls must go to universities. And all the filth and dirt, a blind person knows what is happening there. A deaf person knows what is happening in the universities. And they and ulama are encouraging this. And crying to the people and begging them, send your daughters there. Rosie, that what will happen if the husband is not there? Who is our Razzaq? Our first lesson we forgot. Who is our Razzaq? A husband comes home and tells his wife, I've been retrenched. She says, no problem. Allah is the provider. One door they close, Allah has opened 100 doors. Hey, Allah is not dependent on that one door. That is with iman. And if we haven't got iman, it's the end of the world. And everything comes. Who is the one who gives shifa? No problem, cancer, heart problem, whatever it is, Allah is shafi. وَالَّذِي إِذَا مَرِثُوا فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. Allah gives shifa. If we got that yaqeen, the problem is not even that ulama, that is their problem. And what they all say about just closing the masjids and that, there is another side of the story. Yes, there is definitely another side of the story. That is in the qabr. The other side of the story will be in the qabr. When you close the masjid, you'll see the other side of the story in the qabr. What will happen there? When those malaika come, riwayat of Mishkat Sharif, they are blind, those malaika. They are deaf. They come with hammers that if they hit the biggest mountain in the world, it will be smashed to smithereens. And they will be appointed on that person in the qabr. And they can't see his suffering. The malaika are, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. But they can't see his suffering. there isn't a possibility, but just see the precaution that if they saw his suffering, they won't hit him. They can't hear his screaming. They are blind and deaf, and they are appointed to hit. So that is the other side of the story. So those people who want all this, they will see with their eyes the other side of the story. And when the malaika, when Malakul Maut will come and they start smiting those people who destroy the iman of the Muslims, who close the masjid, who say that in sajda when you are akrab, wahuwa sajid, when you are in sajda, you are the closest to Allah. They say those masjids are the super spreaders of the virus. And they say, guys, listen to me. 10 days, 15 days, you'll see all going to the to dying if those who are going to make sajda. Allah says, then you are closest to me when you are in your sajda. Allah taught us, وَفْتَحْ لِي أَبْوَابَ رَحْمَتِكَ, open the doors of your mercy. So let us be acquainted, aware, and inform our family people, inform our friends. Those who are going to universities, they think in a different line. Those who are in their business, who are watching TV and watching what the government has to say and what's on the cell phone, they think different. Explain to them iman. Allah is everything. Allah is ours. Allah is there for us. Turn to Allah. We are going to die. We are going in the qabr. We are going to return to Allah. It's our duty to explain to them. Not that we fall prey to them. And we also start, and we start defending them. And we mix with them freely. So people get confused. Oh, you say they are wrong, but you still socialize with them. So there must be, there's nothing wrong with it. Let us understand our position and our responsibilities and our duties. May Allah give us all tawfiq.